Jared and the GM, as we are live today out at Neighbors in Germantown, hanging out here. Thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew and Brews. Again, the Monday Night Football Watch Party is here tonight for Chicago and Washington. Jared and the GM, we're hanging out here. Of course, the owner of Neighbors out here in Germantown by First Tennessee Park, former Titan great Zach Piller. And so I'll say this before we get on. Before the break, I thought Zach Piller was a good Titan. Now, after he's brought us out the wings, and he's brought us out the tots, and he's brought us, he was a great Titan, and if he brings us out any more food, I'll probably be 500 pounds, but I'll then have to lobby for a spot in the Titans Hall of Fame for him. And so that's why I told Floyd that we had plenty of time to go off, because then that way I could eat all this food before Floyd gets back here. But the Titans find themselves in a tough spot, much worse spot than we find ourselves in right now, and that is... they're 1-2, which is not the end of the world. The Titans have been 1-4 before, and they've made it deep into the playoffs. But this weekend, we all watched Gardner Minshew on Thursday. We all watched Jacoby Brissett start off 16-for-16 in their win over Atlanta. Maybe the best performance of Brissett's career when they started off 16-for-16. And then we all saw Deshaun Watson in his second half comeback against the Texans. And Watson was not taken with the second overall pick. And Minshew was not taken with the second overall pick. And Brissett was not taken with the second overall pick. So, Floyd Reese, I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to figure out how the quarterback of the Titans was taken with the second overall pick. And he's not doing the things that Brissett did yesterday against Atlanta, that Watson did yesterday against L.A., and that Minshew did on Thursday against the Titans.
Well, I mean, you know, at this point in time, I mean, Brissett is playing like somebody that has played a lot of football. Now, not that Marcus is, I'm not saying that, but Brissett is playing like a really, really mature quarterback. Somebody that's, which, if you look at Jimmy G, we were talking about this before. Jimmy G, him, Brady, all in that picture. You look at those guys all play, they all play the same way. They all play very mature, smart football. So I think that's part of it. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson, I mean, he's just really a good player. I mean, he is a great athlete. I'm not sure he's a great throwing quarterback. You know, I'm not sure. For example, if he and Marcus were to switch – I'm not sure that he would get a lot more done than Marcus, but he might. And it wouldn't have anything to do with talent as much, in my mind, as much as it would have to do with confidence. And he is much more confident than Marcus is right now.
And what about Minshew?
So, oh, I don't, we're going to, he'll come back down to earth. I mean, those first two passes he threw for touchdowns, those are both prayers. I mean, they're just prayers. He's just throwing it up.
Like the one he threw on the sideline and the Butler tried to intercept?
Yeah, I mean, he is very much like your guy, like Lamar. You watch some of those passes he threw yesterday. I mean, they're just prayers. You just rear back and you just throw it as far as you can. Guys are down there. They're playing basketball. The ball looks like it's a punt. And everybody's standing there looking at the ball. Finally, one of them skies and goes up and gets it and comes down with it.
Yeah, Lamar did have one where his guy pushed off and he threw it. It looked like a kickoff.
Yeah, and they say, okay, there's a 50-yard reception. Well, yes and no. So, I mean, I think we would see some of those from Watson if it wasn't for they've just got so much confidence. And it's like... it's like the quarterback at Seattle and Baldwin. You know, when he started scrambling, Wilson was going to find him. And he knew it, and he just kept moving. And they, boom, here it comes, got the ball to him. Everybody's happy, you know, good to go.
Why does Marcus not have the confidence then? If, in your opinion, the difference between Watson and Mariota is that Watson has arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL and has the confidence, why does Marcus not have the confidence?
Well, I mean, other than Walker, I mean, who's breeds confidence to you?
Well, I mean, the fans would tell you that this is the best wide receiver group he's ever had. And I'm not and ready very to
well,
disagree with
it
that.
Very, very well and may end up being that. But I don't, you know, that's like I was thinking about this today. We're really excited about Taylor coming back and the effect he's going to have on Saffold and the effect, he's going to have on the offensive line. I don't know that he and Saffold have played together one snap. Not a single snap.
Yeah, Saffold because took off every half a training camp.
And Saffold, whenever he was in there with the first group, Taylor wasn't. And then when Saffold left and the second group came in, Taylor came in.
So early in training camp, Taylor was with the ones, but about midway through, Taylor stopped being with the ones.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know that he'll be – I don't know that they're going into a game and you're hoping it all works out, and yet I don't know that they've ever played together. Or they certainly haven't played together much. Now, they are veterans, and they are really good players. So
you're not giving me a ton of you're not giving me a ton to go off of in terms of figuring out. I mean, this is my problem with the Mariota thing. Is you ask Vrabel about the sacks, and Vrabel says it's essentially everybody's fault. The receivers aren't getting open, the quarterback is holding on to the ball too long, and the line's not blocking well enough. Which, sure. But then you go to a game like that, and you say, okay, what's the difference between what Houston did when they were down by two scores, and they came back at a better team in L.A., than, say, the Titans did when they were down two scores against a worse team in Jacksonville. And you say, it's the quarterback. And then you get into, well, but he's got Hopkins, and the line is a problem with the Titans, and he doesn't have... And so then it's not Mariota's fault. So is it Mariota's fault? Is it not Mariota's fault? Was Thursday night's loss against Jacksonville Marcus's fault? Because the stats... For whatever that's worth, which is almost nothing, as Belichick would say, the stats are for losers. The stats tell me that Marcus wasn't terrible on Thursday night. But I thought Marcus was pretty bad Thursday night. But did Marcus really ever have a prayer the way that that line was overpowered by Jacksonville's? I don't know. It's like I could literally argue for or against Marcus on every single element about his career since he has been a Titan. And I know we said going into year five, there were going to be no excuses this year, and this was the year to get it done. And if there are no excuses, but then I look at Mike Tomlin, for example, in Pittsburgh. And you could have said about Mike Tomlin going into this year, hey, no more excuses. There's no Bell and Brown to distract you, and there's no – Pittsburgh's going to be 5-11 this year. And is it really going to be Tomlin's fault that Ben threw a ball and his elbow snapped? I don't know. And that's how I feel about Marcus with this is, all I know is I watch Brissett, and he's got confidence when he throws
the ball. Oh, yeah.
And I watch Watson, and Watson knows he's going to win the game. Every time he's out there, he knows. Even when he doesn't win the game, he knows he's going to win the
game. They've got, on their teams, they've got somebody that is exceptional. Okay,
and T.Y. or
yeah,
and that game changed when T.Y. went out.
Or you've got a tight end in his case with Ebron and Doyle, who ended up winning the game again with just a little gainer. But I mean, he's got Mack, who's leading the league in rushing or whatever the heck he's doing, and you go to Deshaun, you say, okay, what's he got? Well, his running game is okay, but he's got two or three receivers there. They added still to the group, and all he does is run down the field and catch passes. So they've got two receivers that are gazelles, that are veteran guys, that are proven, that can get down the field. And then they've got arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And he just finds a way to get open. When he gets open, he catches the ball. When he catches the ball, it's over with, So you say, okay, and then you turn around and you say, okay, now they've got J.J. Watt and they've got some people on defense. And when you look at our team, and we've said this all along, but especially on offense, I mean, who's the answer? Well, Taylor won. Well, Taylor's not there for 4 weeks. So, now where are you? Well, I think I think this guy can do it, and I think this guy can do it, and I think this guy can do it, and I think, and all of that could be right. I mean, that could all be right. But if all those guys are going to do it, they need to start stepping up.
So that's the question for the callers. We'll go right to them next. 615-737-1025. And my question is this. What do we make of how we saw Brissett play yesterday, how we saw Watson play yesterday, and how we saw Mariota play Thursday? 615-737-1025. And why? There was one little thing you do need to give Marcus somewhat credit for on Thursday, which I can't even believe I'm saying, but we'll get to that as well. Jared and the GM live from Neighbors out in Germantown. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Improved statistically in the second half as far as the pass. Most of your yards came then. What changed? How were you able to kind of turn that around?
You know, honestly, I just, I don't know. and I got to find it out because I can't start games that way. You know, I didn't help our team at all in the first half. Didn't give our guys chances to make plays. You know, and I felt I needed to go out and try to just muster something together. And, you know, I got to continue to have that mentality throughout the season and just give our guys opportunities to go make plays.
Marcus talking about the stats in the Jags game. Marcus saying, you know, whatever. Did you notice that Marcus's stats in this Jags game were very un-Marcus-like? I mean, I forgot about the stats. I mean, you would think that I would know all about the stats and would be all about the stats and all of that. But I totally forgot about the stats until yesterday when I was watching all the different games on CBS and they had the fantasy numbers up there at the bottom. And for most of the day, the number one quarterback was Marcus Mariota. Now, that's because he played on Thursday. But Marcus threw for 300 yards, you know, which he almost never does. Marcus, outside of taking 9 sacks, statistically, Marcus wasn't horrible. Now, a lot of that was garbage time stats, but do you give any credence to his statistical performance against Jacksonville, or just move on?
Yeah, I mean, I would just move on. I mean, it's, you know, there's only one stat that matters, but I understand.
But when
what
he
you're
throws
saying.
For 126 and they win, people complain about that. So,
but I don't.
You don't give him credit for that Kansas City win he had.
I don't. Well,
because he didn't throw for enough yards. He threw a touchdown pass for himself. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 live out at Neighbors in Germantown. Hanging out here again. Thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew and Brews. Travis is going to kick us off here this hour on Mariota. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Travis.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, Floyd. I know you can't do it, but I wish you could because Jared is trying it. I know you can't really tell your true feelings about Marcus because you know it'll be all over ESPN and everywhere. Floyd Reese said that Marcus Mariota is not going to be the guy for the Titans. You can't do it. I know you want to, but here's what I call for. Here it is. Year 5. We done blamed it on everybody that came in there. We blamed it on Mike Mularkey. We blamed it on all the OCs. Now, look, whoops. Taylor Lewan is not going to save him. He might make the running game better, but we don't know what Lewan's going to be. He going to come in. He ain't going to be juiced up, so he might not play good no more. So just call a spade, Floyd. Please do it.
Thank you for the call, Travis.
That's great.
Can I be honest with you for a second, Floyd?
Yes, sir.
I think there's some truth to what Travis is saying. That I believe when you made a comment last week, that you think there's a chance J-Rob has already made up his mind one way or another about whether or not Marcus is a franchise quarterback, that to me was the signal that you, as the GM, have made up your mind on Marcus as a franchise quarterback one way or another. And I personally feel like you're, and again, the key word here being that I personally feel, not that you've told me or anything like that, I feel like you are not of the belief that Marcus can take the Tennessee Titans to the promised land.
Well, and we've talked about this 100 times. Define promised land.
I want to win Super Bowls.
Plural?
I want to look like Kansas City.
Is that plural?
I want to be Kansas City.
You want to be Kansas City?
I watched Mahomes yesterday, and I'm watching him throw the ball, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, this guy is, I mean, he just flicks the ball, and it goes 60 yards down the field to a wide receiver who for somehow can run. They got 10 wide receivers that are faster than every other wide receiver in the league, and that guy's running under the ball and catching it for a touch. Just a little flick of the wrist, and it's touchdown, Kansas City.
Well, he is not going to be, we are not going to be Kansas City. And neither is anybody else.
Oh, my God. He's so good.
So it won't matter. I mean, that's guys like that. If, in fact, his career path continues the way it's headed now, I mean, guys like that come by about every 20 years.
So I think in the 20 years or so I've been watching football, I put this at the start of the decade. That, or not the start of the decade, the start of the century. So 2000. There are four quarterbacks who I think are the most four most just naturally talented quarterbacks in the NFL. And I don't know if Mahomes is the best. I was talking to my buddy yesterday who's a Kansas City radio host. We were talking about this. I ranked him Andrew Luck 1 in terms of just pure talent. Andrew Luck 1, Mahomes 2, Rodgers 3, Brett Favre 4. Since 2000. Just pure talent. Like, the talent that Mahomes has is unfreaking believable.
Yeah, I mean, he's a talented kid. There's no getting around that. But I think it's going to be interesting, just like last year, to see how we do this year versus the better teams. Mm-hmm. Because the better teams aren't going to let you do a bunch of the stuff that he wants to do.
Baltimore has a decent defense.
Yeah, but there it's still, I mean, you're fighting from, you know, you're behind and you're fighting, and it's different than when you get in these games and it's 7-7 and it's 14-14. It'll be different for him, you know, because he's not used to playing that way either.
Well, as a
and
right
I'm not
now,
taking anything away from I'm not taking anything away from him. I mean, what he's doing, the numbers are just off the chart. But it'll still be interesting to see where we go in the playoffs.
Well, you asked me what I wanted. I want Kansas City. I'm not expecting Kansas City, but I'd like to have a quarterback who I feel like I can win a Super Bowl with, which to me, Philip Rivers has never won a Super Bowl. In fact, he's never really come close. But I feel like for the last 15 years, Rivers has given San Diego or L.A. at least a chance to compete for a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, but
because
okay.
Of his ability.
You want Rivers or you want Flacco?
I want Rivers.
Never, you're never going to get there. Flacco's already won one.
I want Rivers.
Okay. And then getting to a Super Bowl isn't that big a deal.
So well, I'm just saying the ability of his ability gives them the chance to do that. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to Chad, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. Again, we're live at Neighbors in Germantown for the Monday Night Football Watch Party tonight. What's up, Chad?
Not much, Jared. I got a couple of points to make. I'll try to blow through them as I waste y'all's time. First off, you don't want to be Kansas City. Andy Reid's teams are very well known throughout the years in Philadelphia and in Kansas City to line it up in the regular season and not do anything in the postseason.
You've never had this kind of quarterback, though. I mean, this quarterback is...
Yeah, well, just a quarterback. But you also asked the question before, why can't he be like Watson? Why can't he be like Brissett? What's up with Minshew? As far as the guys in the division, let me ask you this, and you tell me because I really don't know. I'm actually asking you. Who has been Watson's quarterback coach and head coach and offensive coordinator his whole career?
Bill O'Brien.
That's right. Who's been Marcus's?
15 different people.
Okay. So that's one thing that Watson has when it comes to confidence is he's got stability with management and coaching. That's why he has the confidence he has over Mariota. Mariota can make all the throws he can make, and he can run just as good as Watson. So there's the Watson argument. As far as Brissett goes, he sat behind Tom Brady. Let's just go ahead and say he's the greatest of all time. Then he sat behind Andrew Luck, one of the greatest players, arguably, of our generation. Now he's gotten a chance to go in and play in an offense that he's been familiar with for a year or two, if I'm not mistaken, a year, I think. So that's something else he also has over Mariota. Mariota didn't have the luxury of coming in and sitting behind a grizzled vet to teach him how to play quarterback in the NFL properly. Okay? As far as Minshew goes, we all know and Floyd knows that whenever a rookie quarterback like that comes in, they dumbed down the offense to make it easier on him. He's playing an easier playbook with this. I guarantee you they didn't give him the full blown out playbook that Nick Foles had, which is also something Mariota doesn't have to deal with. So I
hear you on all those fronts. That's great. My thing with that, and I appreciate your call, Chad, is that lends into the excuses that we promised we weren't going to do this year, right? Like the Marcus has had 800 offensive coordinators.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. This offensive line sucks. It's terrible. They're awful. We were talking to Zach Piller 5 minutes ago. Floyd said, hey, you need to go play right guard for the Titans. I'm not convinced Floyd's kidding. And Zach hasn't played in, what, 10 years?
Probably.
And I'm not convinced that Floyd is not kidding that he needs to go play right guard for the Titans. And I'm not convinced that he wouldn't do better if he was out there playing right guard for the Titans. I'm not convinced by any of it. None of it. So I hear you. I get all of that. But, I mean, it's disheartening to me because everybody acts like the only way to get a quarterback is to take a guy second overall. And that's the only way to go get one. And I look at everybody else's quarterback in this division, and not one of them was taken in the top five. Except for yours, and he might be the worst. Foles wasn't taken in the top five. Brissett was a third-round pick who got traded to Indianapolis because he was going to get cut in New England. Philip Dorsett was going to get cut in Indianapolis. They swapped guys, and all of a sudden, they've both gone on to flourish with the other team. And Minshew was a sixth-round pick. Watson was, I think, like 10th or 12th or something like that. And I loved Watson. You know, I believed in Watson so much coming out. I just loved his ability at Clemson and the way he would win those games for them and elevate that program. And so I get you. But I just feel like if we fall into the cycle of allowing us to believe the excuses, then we could do this show every day going back and forth about whose fault.
Well, and we decided, I mean, this is year five. So, I mean, whatever the reason, it's really not going to matter, you know, because somebody's going to have to make a decision at the end of this season that will affect his career, you know, one way or the other. And you know, nobody knows. We don't know what that decision's going to be. But, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be a hard decision. And that's why I said, I don't think it's something that you know, put off till the last second. You may not talk about it with anybody, but I'll bet you all those people have their opinions made right now as to, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down. Now, could that change? Absolutely.
615-737-1025, loaded phones. We're back to them next. Jared and the GM, live from Neighbors out here in Germantown, where, again, we're hanging out thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew and Brews. Only $6 tonight out here at Neighbors Bar in Germantown for Monday Night Football, Washington and Chicago. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, the game.
Second and 10. Here comes Ingram. And again, Watson escapes. Over the middle, it's caught. Akins. Wide open real estate, and the tight end rumbles in for the touchdown. Incredible play by Watson.
And again, Watson escapes. Touchdown. Incredible play by Deshaun Watson.
And this, the part that's crazy is this: that ends up being like a 50-yard touchdown pass. And it was like a 3-yard pass.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was. He started to run, stopped right at the line of scrimmage, just flipped it forward. Bing! He was gone.
I watched it and I thought, oh, my God, Deshaun Watson. Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. Loaded phones, I promised right back to him. That's where we go on this Reaction Monday. And, of course, on the Mariota front, Cedric.
Ah, yes.
He's up next. Thank you for calling. Cedric, go ahead.
My man, listen, we are in year five. Let me turn this up. We're in year five, people. When you call the radio show, it's Mariota, not Mariota. Let's get that straight. We cannot expect the quarterback to be good if the fans that support Marcus can't pronounce his name right. Now, Floyd, how can we sit here and say that these receivers are not getting open, but we don't have a quarterback that will push the ball down the field? Floyd, you've seen Chris Carter play almost his entire career. How much separation did Chris Carter get? Am I wrong in saying it wasn't a lot?
Right.
I mean, he didn't get a lot. Right. But he had a quarterback that would throw him the ball. We have no idea what type of receiver Corey Davis is. We don't know if he's a number one because we don't have a number one quarterback that can throw him the ball. People say, well, Corey Davis is not number one. He's in year two and some games of being the number five pick, but we got the same people that call in and say, Marcus Mariota is a franchise quarterback and we're in year five and the dude can't even read a defense properly. Now, Floyd, last thing I want to ask you. Is it time to start holding John Robinson accountable for not bringing
Cedric,
in talent?
When you were Floyd's actually going to answer that.
No, listen, Floyd, what I'm saying. When you were the GM, Floyd, you brought in playmakers. You brought in Steve. You brought in Eddie. You brought in Javon. You brought in Sabari. Who is a difference maker of the Tennessee Titans right now? We got a bunch of really solid players. We don't have difference makers. And that is why we can't get over the top. That's why we're always going to be a 9-17. Jared, I know you
got to
go, so I'll
holler
at you. See you.
Thanks.
And Cedric's got a point, and we talked about this earlier. You know, the problem we're all having is you take a guy like Corey Davis, you say, okay, what is Dave? And he asked about, who did he mention? Who was the receiver?
Chris Carter from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, Chris. And you say, well, what was Chris? Chris was a possession, could run a little bit better than you thought he could, but if the ball was in the air, it was his.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, you know, who are our guys? Other than Humphreys, we really don't know.
And you know what Delaney is.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about receivers. You know, I mean, you just don't know what Corey Davis, you would like him to have a personality. You would like him to have a, you know, an identity.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this guy? You know, who is Brown? Who is Sharp? And that's part of the problem.
I told you my feelings on Sharp. I think Sharp's told us who he is, which is nothing. No thank you to Tajay Sharp. Now, everybody else, I'm with you. I don't really, I mean, Humphreys, I guess, is a slot receiver, but, you know.
I think Sharp, though, I mean, Sharp was the only guy we had the other night that got deep on Jalen Ramsey. Ran past Ramsey.
You can keep Sharp.
And ran, you know why he ran past Ramsey?
Why?
Because he's faster than Ramsey?
No.
No. Because he ran a really, really good route.
Was that the ball Mariota missed?
No. This was, he caught one for 45 or whatever it was.
Oh, that was.
That was a nice route.
Yeah. That was an outstanding
route. He kind of slowed down, and created some separation, and then
like
accelerated away.
Exactly.
And he hit him. It was nice.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joe, who's up next on Marcus Mariota. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. You know, I agree with Cedric on a lot of points there, except, you know, Floyd, let me ask you a question. When were with Houston, how long did it take you to build a Super Bowl team that made it to the Super Bowl? I know we didn't win, but how long did it take you? It took you a long time.
It took, I guess 5 years.
Yeah.
Because that's when we brought Steve in and said, Steve, we'd be in the Super Bowl in 5 years.
About 5 years, but that was after you guys moved from Houston to Nashville, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and it also took a long time to build a good offensive line around Steve, didn't it?
Oh yeah.
So what my point is that the Titans right now are in that stage where they're trying to build a top cow team. Now I know they've been building for 5 years. They've got receivers. They've got the defense. They've taken care of. The receivers, I think, are there. But that offensive line is atrocious. And I don't care what John Robinson did this offseason. The one thing he did not address was that offensive line. And that is the big problem right now with Marcus Mariota's, you know, problems with not being able to push the ball downfield because he just simply doesn't have time to move the ball downfield. Look, all these teams, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, when they came out on complete teams. These teams were gelling together. They were playing together. They were established. All they needed was one, you know, a chess master, which was a quarterback. When Marcus Mariota was to the Titans, they were horrible. So what I'm saying is, what people need to understand is that the Titans need time to gel, and they need time with this quarterback to gel and group and have the same offensive coordinator and have the same people for at least two or 3 years. What y'all think? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Joe. So I got a couple of thoughts on that, Floyd. To me, on the John Robinson front, I do think the offensive line is a problem, and I do think it is his problem, if that, you know, makes any sense. Like, I mean, you know, he cut Josh Klein, who I didn't even particularly like, but is definitely better than whatever they've got at right guard right now. He signed Roger Saffold to a bunch of money, which everybody thought was a good signing. So, you know, the fact that it hasn't worked out right now is a problem. They gave Ben Jones an extension. I think Ben Jones is garbage. That's a problem. The Conklin has not gotten better. That's an injury thing. I don't know, whatever. But that's a problem. They can't even pick up the fifth-year option on him. So I do think that the offensive line is a problem that is the general manager's fault. But at the same time, like, I think there's just so much that goes into it that makes it so frustrating. It's like we didn't go into the season mad at John Robinson for the offensive line. I mean, you were talking about the lack of a right guard, and that certainly bothered you the whole time. But right guard's not the only position that stinks on the offensive line right now.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, we've seen Jack Conklin, and people were mad at Jack because he gave up a couple of sacks, and I understand that. But we've seen Jack be the best right tackle in the NFL.
Well, he's never played like that since that happened.
He's been hurt. But we've seen him as the best right tackle in the NFL. And it's like coaching. You know, people say about coaching, you don't all of a sudden forget how to coach. Well, you don't all of a sudden forget how to play right tackle. Now, is he playing like he was before the injury? Hey, no. I mean, I think we would all say that. But do you have to believe that he's going to approach that ability again? You know what? If he just approaches it, we'll be good because he was the best guy in the league. Well, we just need the second best or the third best or the fourth best or whatever it is. I am not Saffold. I know why everybody's worried about him. I am not worried about him. Jones, I like much better than you do. The right guard is an issue, and that has been an issue, and that is going to continue to be an issue, and I don't know where the answer is.
Well, they say they're working Nate Davis, going to try to work Nate Davis in there a little bit, so maybe that'll be the
like
end
I
of
said,
issue.
I don't know where the answer is.
Nate Davis, well-placed in the Floyd Reese doghouse. Bobby is up next on the Cleveland Browns. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering about, I've been a Browns fan for a long time. Was Freddie Kitchens really the answer? And what's going on with Baker Mayfield? I'd appreciate if you'd answer for me. Thank you.
Thank you. No, he is not the answer.
Baker, I think, I think Baker is playing way out in front of his skis a little bit. And I think what he needs to do is he wants so badly to go out and throw for four. He wants to be Mahomes. That's what he wants to do. I want to be Mahomes. And you love that gunslinger mentality, and you love that aggressiveness, and you love all that about him. All that is well and good. But you can only do that if you're scoring a ton of points, because you're going to make some mistakes along the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that, you know, they can do that. So he almost needs to tone it down, not personality, but just what he does with the ball, so that he knows he's getting the most value out of every drive. You know, every time he touches the ball, if you're not getting points, then you got to get field position or you got to get something out of the drive. And I think in his mind, it's always touchdown, 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 which, you know, I understand, but you're just not in that position yet.
More of your phone, 615-737-1025, plus a little AFC South nugget that I find to be very interesting that we'll get to coming up next here on Jared and the GM as we are live out at Neighbors in Germantown. I want to tell you all about my friend TJ Anderson. That's right, TJ Anderson. Good to see TJ. TJ Anderson, part of TJ Anderson Homes, Benchmark Realty. They will take great care of you if you're looking to buy or sell your home. That's right. This is what happens. You're going to buy and sell your home. You think you have an idea of what your home's worth. You may look online, see what other people are selling their homes worth. So you get this idea in your head. Don't do that. Call TJ. Why? Because TJ knows the market. TJ has known the market for years, and he will get you the best price whether you're buying or selling for your home. TJ is an expert. His team, they know exactly what they're doing, and you'll be stunned with the results you get when you have your home either put on the market with TJ or you buy a home with TJ. And not only that, they have thousands of people a day going to TJAndersonHomes.com to look at homes, so make sure you list with TJ so that one of your homes will be up there. That's right, TJAndersonHomes.com. And if you want to keep up with your home's value, it's simple. Text RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, text RADIO to 615-866-4670. That's 615-866-4670 to get your home's value and to keep up with your home's value. They'll update you monthly on all of that. TJ Anderson Homes, online at TJAndersonHomes.com, part of Benchmark Realty. Your road to real estate starts with my buddy TJ Anderson, TJ Anderson Homes. Jared the GM, live from Neighbors in Germantown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM, live from Neighbors in Germantown. By the way, not only do they have the specials on Tullamore Dew and Brews while we're out here today, Floyd, but Zach Pillar hooked us up with some wings and some tots, and I'm telling you, pretty impressive out here now.
Zach will take care of us now.
Oh, as I said.
Great.
As I said earlier, I always thought Zach was a good Titan. Well, after he brought out the wings and the tots and everything else out here for us,
he's a great Titan.
And if he brings us more, he may go into the Titans Hall of Fame, in my opinion. I just don't know. Interesting little nugget out of the AFC South. According to Frank Reich in Indianapolis, safety Malik Hooker could, quote, miss a few weeks after suffering a knee injury on Sunday against the Falcons. Hooker had a huge interception in that
huge
game.
Huge interception.
That really changed the ballgame. I think Hooker is a very big part of their defense.
Yeah.
And I think it is, hysterical, but when the Colts are at their best, they usually have a safety that is kind of, whether it was Bob Sanders, some of these other guys, but Hooker is certainly a great player. And if he's going to miss a few weeks with a knee injury, that's a big loss to the Colts. The Falcons, meanwhile, the Titans' next opponent, Dan Quinn, their coach, said they will bring in officials this week to officiate practice to try to bring down some of the penalties. Floyd, I don't know about you, but I look at Atlanta, and I see a mess of a football team right now.
Yeah, the part that's scary about them, it's just what we were saying before.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know who Julio Jones is?
Yes, we do. He made an incredible touchdown.
Do we know who Sanu is? Yes. Do we know what's the young guy's name from Alabama?
Ridley.
Do we know who Ridley is? Yes, we do. Do we know who the running back is? Yes, we do. And so, that's what I'm talking about. And even though they lost, they just flashed the stats up here. Mm-hmm. He and the Colts quarterback were within like 3 yards of each other. You know, I mean, they completed it. It came right down. They each threw for more than 300 yards. Each one was like, I don't know what the numbers were, like 22 out of 32 or something like that. And so they're both very, very close.
Oh, the difference of the game was the Hooker interception.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan throws the ball interception at the 1 yard line. That's...
And let's face it. Nobody can cover Julio Jones.
Oh, no. I mean, and here's the other thing about that.
And we fit right in with that.
Mike Mularkey knows that, too. You know, like, he knows that. He knows if Matt Ryan has time to chuck the ball down the field, Matt Ryan's going to complete a bunch of passes. But we'll get into that later in the week. Back to your phones, as always. Ralph is up next on the offensive line of the Titans. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Ralph.
Yes, friend. I think the GM and coaching have very problematic here in Titans. Let me talk to you about Andy yesterday. The quarterback completed 16 of 16 in the beginning of the game yesterday, but nobody even touches jersey. So Indy is winning just by good coaching and offensive line. That's how they're winning. And that's very obvious. And that's what we don't have here. So I don't know what's your response.
Thank you, Ralph. I can't disagree with that. I mean, I think Brissett is comfortable for a couple of reasons. One, this is his second year in Reich's offense, and he got to learn it last year as opposed to just get thrown out there. And number two, I think he's got a really good offensive line, and he trusts T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he trusts Ebron. I think he trusts all those guys. But he does have T.Y. T.Y. is his security blanket, if you will. And he does have an outstanding offensive line. and they're protected. And if you talk about, like you go, we were talking about Mahomes. Mahomes got a pretty good offensive line. You talk about a bunch of these young guys that are lighting it up, and generally speaking, they've got, you know, decent offensive line, because if they don't, they're getting killed, like, you know, like in Houston. I mean, I don't know if that guy will make the season or not, but, I mean, he keeps hanging in there tough.
Oh, my goodness. He gets
popped. But he gets popped.
It was Clayton Gathers, not Hooker, the other safety from Indianapolis who made the interception yesterday. But that was a great interception.
Yes, it was.
But it was a bad throw by Ryan. And if you can get Matt Ryan to throw some balls like that, no.
And he threw a bunch of interceptions last week, I want to say. I mean, that's kind of been his bugaboo.
Let's go to John, who's up next here on Jared and the GM on the offensive line coach. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Give me your thoughts about Tennessee's offensive line coach. It seems like some of these teams, I know like the Patriots, they mix and match players. They lose players to injuries and free agency. And they always have good offensive lines. But the Titans, all we're talking about is the offensive line and Mariota not having enough time. What do you think about the coach there?
Thank you for the call, John. I'll be honest with you, and if Floyd gets mad when I say this, I don't like him. I don't like him. Keith Carter from the Falcons, I think if you look at his resume, it just feels unqualified to be the offensive line coach of the Titans. I thought they took a step back last year. I think they've taken an even further step back this year, although the talent on the offensive line is in question. So I don't know how much you can blame him. I don't like him, but I don't know anything about how to evaluate whether or not an offensive line coach is any good.
The thing that has made, and I would agree with the caller, that New England, I mean, I think Dante's the best offensive line coach in the NFL at New England, Dante Scarnecchia, simply because he does not have the best talent. And if you look at the players across the board, now Wynn was a number one draft choice. He just got hurt again. I don't know if he's done for the season or not. But you look at the rest of those guys, Cannon, we got Cannon in like the third or fourth round. The rest of those guys are like down the line guys. But at New England, they know exactly what they want. They know exactly the type. They know the personality. They know the size. They know it's a fine science. And really, you know, if there's a position that Bill will not pay as much attention to the scouts as normal, it's with the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And he knows exactly what he wants. Dante knows exactly what they want. And they go out and find those guys. Here, I think it's a mismatch, and that's where it gets hard. You know, we say, okay, Klein was not our guy. Fine. And you know my rule. I don't, you know what? If you
just
don't
get
like
me somebody
him,
better.
Yeah, just get somebody better. That's fine if you want to get rid. But let's don't get rid of people till we know we have somebody that's better. And that's where I think you run into problem like this year. And is Panfield better? I don't know. You know, I think J-Rob thinks he is, but we haven't seen enough of him to form an opinion. So I don't know. And I think that's where you run into trouble with these guys, is you go out and you find these different guys and you say, okay, this is what I'm looking for as a tackle. Well, then that guy's gone. That's like us at the tackle position right now. I mean, for the three guys that we've got, you have to feel pretty good about three legitimate guys. Because Kelly, even though he has not been the complete answer, I think, generally speaking, if you look how he's played 3 weeks,
I love Kelly.
He's been pretty good. So you say, okay, we've got Lawan at one side, Conklin at the other, and Kelly is the truth is, and this goes back to what we talked about in the offseason, I mean, your best five offensive linemen include Kelly, wherever you put him. And so, you know, you're saying to yourself, okay, you know, how are we going to do this? But the point being that I think, you know, you've got tackles. You feel good about your tackles. Now we got to go to the inside, and we've got to get that inside group solidified.
6-1, but so what do you think of the job the coach is doing?
Well, I don't think we can tell. How can you? I mean, you got the third-teamer, this guy. I mean, we're talking about putting a rookie who didn't do anything in camp, has never taken a snap, and we're going to throw him in the game this week? I mean, how can you tell?
615. Hey, you know what? If Nate Davis goes in there and plays well, then I'll say it was good coaching because he hadn't had any practice.
But I think we have to ask ourselves, what are the chances he goes in there and play well? I think I've got an answer.
0%. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones. But coming up next, was last week, or should I say yesterday, really, was yesterday a sign that the Titans are in danger of letting the season get away if they can't figure it out soon? We'll get to that. Jared of the GM, live from Neighbors out in Germantown. Thanks to our friend at Tullamore Dew and Brews. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game.